Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to see everyone. We're going to be learning today as we continue with our crash course in the Jewish life cycle. And today we've reached 3 years old. We spent a lot of time in the first month of life. Now we get to the upsharon, or what's known as the chalukah, which is the cutting of the hair of a boy at the age of 3 years old. I'd like to start off by thanking the sponsor of the series in general, Sori Stern, who's sponsoring this entire series of learning. I also want to thank Elliot and Shandy, who are sponsoring today's share. We'll nishmas the Boba Yom Yotzat of Elliot's father, Yosef C. Ben Pesach Halevi. Boba Yom Yotzat, nishmasai Eden. Thank you for making this opportunity to learn. We'll nishmasai our words, our learning, and our continued learning afterwards should be a true merit for his neshama. We are also going to, today's issue is also sponsored by Shalom and Lori Huberfeld in honor of Ayelet's marriage later this afternoon, Be'ezras Hashem, B'sha'a Tova U'mutzlachas. Let us learn a little bit over here. So this is one of the, we'll call, more mysterious aspects of the Jewish lifestyle. And we should remember that anytime there's something special to do in the Jewish lifestyle, it's an opportunity to embrace and do well and to investigate and not just have good food. That may be part of it, but it's important to find out more, to engage, to connect, because it's an opportunity to inspire our children. The question is what is this, why is this, and how does this work exactly? So the truth is that it is shrouded in mystery in the sense that it does not appear in mainstream sources. So if you look through the Gemara, it was certainly Tanakh, if you look through the Shulchan Aruch, you will not find mention of this custom at all. It is a custom which seems to be deeply Kabbalistic and is mentioned in later sources. Noseh Kalim, some of the commentators in Shulchan Aruch mention it, and certainly some of the later halachic and philosophical material mentions it. But let's explore two avenues, two tracks in trying to understand what this is, and we'll deal with some of the details. So one of the places that's famously pointed to is in the Sha'arei Tshuva. The Sha'arei Tshuva over here is not referring to Rabbeinu Yonah's work about how to do repentance. The Sha'arei Tshuva over here is referring to Tshuva as responsa. So this means the gateways of responsum. What does that mean? So on Shulchan Aruch, he realized that the Shulchan Aruch was only speaking in the 1500s. Why? Because that's when he lived. So after the Shulchan Aruch lived, there were many other ideas or concepts or minhagim which developed. They were post Shulchan Aruch. So how do you couch those? What's the framework for those? So he wrote the Sha'arei Tshuva on this. Then, of course, this idea became very, very popular. Later on, there was the Piskei Tshuva. So now on Aruch Chaim, there's Piskei Tshuva, and there's all kinds of later, we'll call it, a response of the generations of real life cases post Shulchan Aruch. But the Sha'arei Tshuva was one of the earlier ones who did this, and he says the following. I'd like to learn it together with you on the page 2. Where he's describing and he's discussing the halachas of Chol Hamoed. This is in the sixth chelek of Mishneh Berurah, where we're discussing, can you get a haircut on Chol Hamoed? And the halacha is, generally speaking, not. Then it says, but what about a katan? What about a minor? So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch says it is all right. In this case, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ayin began hamelech shekos, he quotes the Gan HaMelech who says, Umutar lahashos simchas hatiglachas she'ois in a katan kedei lahagdil hasimcha b'moed. He says that, in fact, you are allowed to delay the cutting of a child's hair till Chol HaMoed. Now, this is exactly usually the opposite of what it is with the parents, with adults. Because you understand that one of the reasons why you're not allowed to cut hair on Chol HaMoed as an adult is because what are people going to do? They're working really hard. It's tax season coming to Pesach, right? The Yom HaNerayim says it's so busy. So what are people going to do? They're going to leave all their hair cutting appointments to Chol HaMoed. And that's not the way we should be celebrating Chol HaMoed. So therefore, the halacha is you're not allowed to cut in Chol HaMoed, thereby forcing people to do all their preparations of Yom Tov before Yom Tov and come into Yom Tov looking like a mensch. That's part of the logic. But when it comes to a child, in fact, it's the other way around. You're allowed to, says the Gan HaMelech, leave it till Chol HaMoed, to increase the simcha that's associated with this. This is not practical, this is spiritual. V'inyan shel simcha, why is it such a matter of joy? He says, "Hu minag Eretz Yisrael." It comes from a practice found in the land of Israel. Gam ken she'osin simcha b'tiglachas harishona shel katan. It's when you do the first haircut. Notice he isn't saying 3 years yet, but he's saying that the first time you have this haircut, it is a special opportunity. What is the logic behind that? He says, he explains, Shemechanchin oisa b'mitzvah liyos loy peyas harosh. Because you're educating the child that you should have the peyas harosh, the corners of the head, which is fascinating, fascinating halacha. And in fact, he goes on to quote a Kabbalistic source, which is the Ayin Pri Eitz Chaim. Who is the Pri Eitz Chaim? Who is the author of that? Rav Chaim Vital, the primary student of the Arizal, the one who redacted most of the Arizal's ideas. So the Pri Eitz Chaim records, he said, Mishar Siras Oimer, Shar Siras Oimer, Shekosa Binyana Olchim Al Keva Rabbi Shimon Bayochai, Rabbi Lezer Benoi, Bemeronin. Rav Chaim Vital testifies that he saw his master, the Arizal, cut his own son's hair, the first haircut, there in Meiron, and that has become the practice. People do this all the time. I was actually, we were in with a family in Israel about a year and a half ago. We happened to be going back from Tveria down to Yerushalayim, and we saw a sign for Meron, and how could you pass by a sign that says Meron without turning in? It was a Tuesday afternoon at, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'd think, you know, maybe it's an off season. There was not a single parking spot available at the time. And there were two of these going on right then, just as happens to be, besides everything else. This is where it's at, and this is goes down to this practice of Arizal. But if you think about this for a moment, so what's the primary function of this? Says the Shaarei Teshuvah, is that the notion of chinuch, of educating, as to pay us a rosh, which is fascinating because it's really actually a positive expression of a negative mitzvah. If you think about that, right? So the mitzvah is, lo sakivus es pas roshchem. You're not allowed to cut certain corners on the head. That one is not allowed to shave. So one would say, okay, if one's not doing that, one is in compliance with the halacha. But it's interesting that that's not the case here. We're saying that it's more important, in fact, to emphasize that space that there's going to be extra hair as well. It is worthwhile noting that when you look at the non-Jewish world in general, still to today, The hairstyles in the non-Jewish world are always focused on the top of the head, whereas the Jewish hairstyles are focused on the side of the head, the peos. It's interesting to know. Today it's still, if you look at the latest haircuts of teenagers, of boys in high school, very short sides and incredibly unruly hair which is falling over the top. You know, and this wasn't something new. They were trying to be unique, but this isn't something new. This is the way that, the way that it was in the days of old, in the Mohawks, that's the times of the Gomorrah, and the way that people used to cut their hair was always to the exclusion of the sides. And the Jews, in a certain sense, the opposite. I remember when my first son, Moshe, was born, he only had hair on the sides, and it took a while for him to sort of catch up. We called it a preceding hairline. You know, we were waiting for the time that it would take hold. But nonetheless, that's a very Jewish perspective, right? The mohawk, the hair on the top, is not the way that Jews go, and this seems to be a expression of uniqueness of Judaism. And what is interesting is as much as the non-Hasidim will rag the Hasidim and say, you know, why do you look like that? If you think about it, that has become the tzura of what a Jew looks like, you know, certainly in the anti-Semitic propaganda, that is, the Jew is always the one who has the side locks. The side locks has become very much associated, has become an emphasis on looking different, on being distinct and unique as well. And so this is when we start this process, this journey, we want to make sure that our mores, our values, our culture is not going to be that of the street. As much as we very much associate in so many ways with the culture around us, we want this child's journey to be distinct as well. And couldn't be more true at a time like this where we're reminded how distinct we are. But we'll call it a safeguard or a distinguishing factor. There is another perspective, and this is talked about, interestingly enough, in the response of the Tshuvos v'Hanhagos. Does anybody remember who this is? Rav Moshe Sternbach, Shlito, is the Av based on the Eidah Charedis in Yerushalayim today. And he writes in his Tshuvos v'Hanhagos the following observation, which is a very famous idea. It's found in many places, but he summarizes it beautifully, where he says the following. He says, In the first line, it says, Gimel Shonim Arelim Yihiyu. The pasuk tells us that for 3 years you will remain uncircumcised. What is this referring to? It's referring to trees. It's referring to trees. That trees remain unpicked for 3 years. Sha'ad Gimel Shona Ein Maschilin B'simone Yadus. And he says that's a metaphor. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. The human being is like the tree of the field, the fruit tree. So you don't pick the fruit of the tree for 3 years. Even though we do try to educate a child to say brachos before 3 years old, if they're capable, and they certainly are, nonetheless, that's because the way they can speak. And he quotes the Ramah, and who says that Gimel Shlemos Melamdim Oisai Oisus HaTorah Kedela Ishiagur Asbol Likros BaTorah. Now, when a child is 3 years old, you start teaching them the Aleph Beis. He says, and he quotes the Tanchuma, and he goes on further to say the next paragraph. He's like, Kosum Adabe Betinok Ben Shalosh Shonim, Yi Yelochem Arelim, Shal Yedei Esha'enu Yochol Loila Asiach Vole Ladaber. Because up till 3 years, a child's not really in full-fledged mode of speaking, although children are very sophisticated. But if a Shona Arevi is the Akol Piriya Kodesh, the halacha is, when it comes to a fruit tree, whether here in Chutz La'aretz or in Eretz Yisrael, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, for the first 3 years, you're not allowed to take the fruits off, but in the fourth year, it's a year called Netta Revoi, where in fact you're allowed to, and it's a mitzvah to take those fruits, but you must eat those fruits in Yerushalayim because they have a level of Kedusha much like Ma'aser Sheni. And so what's being said over here is, what's the application? Shaviv Makdisha La Torah, Hilulim La Hashem, Shemahala La Kodesh Baruch. What are you doing? You have a child who's really at this point in time been, you know, gabbling and, you know, not really necessarily contributing to a conversation. At this point, they become sophisticated enough to really engage in intellectual conversations. At that point in time, you want to consecrate their conversation, their expression. The fruit of the child, in a certain sense, is who they are, what they express, their identity. You want that to be holy to God. Well, Cain, Misayem Agra, the Vilna Gaon says, And he goes and he quotes the Chazon Ish, who says, the Chazon Ish says Kabbalistically you shouldn't bring this earlier than necessary. I don't know the source of the Chazon Ish, but nonetheless he says it specifically should be after the birthday of the child as well. So if you think about this from this perspective, actually I had a few boys around the table, some of my son's friends, and I said, do you remember your chalukah, your upsharon? You know, so one of them said an interesting thing. He said, I do remember. He said, I was really scared. I ran to my room. He says, because from my experience, I never had my hair cut. So I associated with being painful, because any other part of the body that you want to cut off is not going to be a very fun experience. You think about it from that perspective. And there's something true about that if you think about it in terms of chinuch. What's really going on over here? Here you have an ancillary part of the body, a beautiful body, an expressive part of the body, right? People use their hair to express themselves. One of the things I remember that Rose Lubin, who was murdered in the Old City a few weeks ago, who was the girl from Atlanta, if you remember. And so her dad at the funeral, I was at the funeral to her Herzl, and the father said it was not a single year of her life that she had the same hairstyle. She colored her hair, she shaved her hair, she was a very artistic person. And so her hair was her expression. Hair is a way we express ourselves, how we cut it, how we brush it, what color we make it. Hair is an expression of self. So here you have this child, in a certain sense it's sort of unpruned, undirected, just growing, just beautiful, cute, still baby-like. And then what do? You take this moment now to sort of, now you start guiding it. Now you start formatting, now you start giving direction to this child. I was actually speaking to Menachem Penner before, and he pointed out such a beautiful thing. He says, in chinuch, it's important to see where the child is growing first, and then to prune. Sometimes we prune before we see where they're growing. Meaning to say, see what their hair looks like. See what's happening, and every child's different and unique. And then slowly we try to channel that growth. We try to pull it in the right direction as well. So like a fruit tree, growing in all directions, we're going to say, okay, you know, there's something special. This child knows how to dance. This child knows how to write. This child knows how to sing. This child knows how to remember. We're going to try to channel all that in the unique way of this child. But you have to wait first to see what it looks like. And that's you're channeling that speech, that creativity, that personality into a way of of Kedusha as well. This is a very different idea to the idea of the so to speak, the uniqueness of Judaism, of the Peos HaRosh as well, which is as identified in the Shari Shoah. Both are true at the same time. It's important to talk to children. They resonate much more on this idea. One is when, and we can talk to the children. We should speak to them. We should get on the floor. We should talk to them at their level and say, this is what makes you look specially Jewish, is we're going to make sure we're not cutting over here. And what I want you to know is that now it's like a special fruit tree. You're like a tree. Like, you know, the tree has fruit that grows out. Now this is your fruit. We're going to make it now that we're going to grow even more. And we're going to carry on. We're going to carry on cutting your fruit because you're going to produce so much. There's ways to talk to children about their uniqueness and their beauty at this time. A few halachas is, when should one make the date? So this is discussed in. This is obviously talked about in the later achronim. But Aruga Saboisim says that this should be specifically on the date of 3 years old. Specifically when they turn 3 years old, which is not always possible because, you know, we want a nice Sunday afternoon party with the sun shining, right? So it's like, you know, sometimes. So Chazon Ish says, don't make it late. Don't make it early. Make it late, but don't make it early. So if you're working around dates and it's necessary, you can delay it. And in fact, similarly, if, let's say, one wants to delay it for the sake of going to Meron. So like I know with my sister, when she's in Eretz Israel, she had a few of these questions. And people will delay it. They'll delay it to go see Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zichro Zechazalik Vracha, to give a bracha to the child. They'll delay it to get to Meron, or they delay it to get to Lag BaOmer. That's all right. You're allowed to delay it for that, for those kind of things to emphasize the mitzvah as well. It is true that one should push it off if it's on Rosh Chodesh. One should push it off one day if it happens to fall on Rosh Chodesh. And if it's on Chol HaMoed, one can certainly make it, as that's where the source of this halacha actually starts, as you just looked about as well. So when it comes to the party, I know that so many people plan what the colors are going to look like and the theme and who's going to, and what everybody's going to wear and things like that. Those are all fantastic ancillary details. But when it comes to actually the way one sets it up, it should be that the child will associate this experience with being a happy and joyous occasion. That's the primary focus. So the focus should not be what the in-laws think and will think and what the guests will say and the reviews they'll get and the posts on social media. Those are all very nice. But in the end of the day, it's what will make this child feel happy. What will make this child, how will this child not feel scared? How will the child feel that this is their party and a very especially unique moment? Yes, Elia.
Yeah, I note that you're using the term child. We're talking about both boys and girls. I've never heard of an upsharing for a girl.
That's true.
Certainly, if we go to the Pais, reason, then it would be for girls.
Correct. Correct. It is for boys. You're right. You're 100% right. These days, just use common.
Your philosophy, though, it should be for girls also. You know,
this is not my philosophy, but I appreciate the attribution. but yeah, when it comes to the Peos HaRosh, certainly it's only a boy related. And even when it comes to the idea of the Peros, the Peros as well, if the Peros are understood specifically as Torah, we'll call it strictly Torah, then the Chiyuv of Torah is more on a man, not a woman. But we'll call the expression certainly has, and today we are blessed to have a society in which women are learning Torah and are incredible proliferators and teachers of Torah. There's no question about that. The chiyuv still remains on a boy, which is why this practice seems to have evolved for young boys. At the same time, I would say it is important to make sure without, not trying to create a new minhagim, but it is important to find every moment in life that one can for boys and girls to make sure that they love their Judaism, right? So whatever we can do to ensure a party, as a brachas, a party, whatever it is that we are doing something special, happens to be this particular minhag developed over the last centuries around boys. I think one should look for opportunities to make special parties for girls as well. Yes.
No, it's interesting that, you know, we made a connection between this and Orla, as well, the trees, and the tree is never, it's never past three, it's always within to the third year because the Russian changes. So you would think that if it's the comparison would be
interesting
to the third year, it should be a good time.
Good question. Good question. I don't know. That's a very good question. So I don't know. It seems to be we take it as is as well. Also happens to be a good time in terms of a child being weaned and a child being potty trained, hopefully, as well. Yeah. So, but the different cycles of the tree, the tree's seasons. There's a lot of things. I don't know if anybody's been to an op sharing where it's done really well, where there's somebody who's experienced who's done it. You know, like I always find it's like the rabbi is the afterthought. It's like, oh, by the way, 2 days beforehand, we're doing this. No. The rabbi should be the way you plan it around it, meaning how are you going to make it that the child is going to experience this in a joyous way? And so if you see it done really well, you'll see that there are rabbis who do this beautifully. There are rabbeim who know how to do this properly. And there's a lot of minhagim around this. You'll see that if you come prepared, there's a board which is with the aleph beis, and the board with the aleph beis is covered and laminated, and they put honey on each of the letters, and they go through each of the letters, say aleph, and they touch the like a lollipop or onto the honey, and the baby licks it. Say beis, and they go through it. If you see, sometimes I've seen a beautiful thing where they have a scroll, a parchment. On the parchment they have the psukim, Torah tzivah lanu Moshe Morasha kilas Yaakov, which is the first pasuk a child is supposed to say, and this should happen early on, as the Rav Moshe Sternbach pointed out, Hamalach HaGoel, and the child reads this, say, Hamalach, HaGoel. Usually a child at three, my daughter at three was singing this fluently, but say Hamalach HaGoel, then to go to Shema Yisrael Hashem Nekan Hashem Echad, Vayikra El Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elov Mo'el Mo'ed Lemor, and we know the Midrash says at the beginning of Parshas of Sefer Vayikra, that the children who are pure should come and involve themselves in pure the purity of Karbonos, which is why we start with Vayikra. And so they say the first pasuk, Vayikra and Torah, Tehei Munasi, Vekel Shakai, Be'ezrasi, and one should give a child a candy after each of the sentences they complete. Say Torah, say Tehei, say Tehei Munasi. And a lot of the times, you think, will the children be able to do this? Children arise to the bars we set them. In a large sense, and the child will say this, and give them incentivization, celebrate every time they complete one of these sentences. If it's done well, this is not just a party for the parents. This is really actually about the children as well. There are those who have a honey cake as well today. I mean, just the problem is that our sugar overload has made it today. That honey cake is like, I don't understand, it's not pink. And neon pink, so today it's become a little hard in the standards. I remember the first time we came to when we moved to the Five Towns, I think our children had more candy on the first Shabbos in the Five Towns than 2 years in Chicago, so you have to sort of figure out what's important as well. It's also a special opportunity to initiate Yarmulke and Tzitzis if appropriate. So again, if appropriate means to say is that a child should not be wearing tzitzis if they're not potty trained. But usually by that age they are, just because the camps and schools will say, no potty training, no child, right? So the parents are forced to do this. The girls are better than the boys usually when it comes to this. But if the child is potty trained, they should be initiated. This should be the time they feel proud to wear their tzitzis. This is the time you make a big deal. Like Abba wears tzitzis, like Zadie wears tzitzis. You're going to wear tzitzis as well. It's a very special opportunity for them to do this and to wear this. And I know one of the children in our block still wears tzitzis for the last 2 months because of this moment in time. And with the yarmulke as well. Now the yarmulke is going to fit. Right, so after the initial cutting, this is an opportunity to put it on as well. The minhag is to offer it to Gedolei Torah to cut the hair. Some people in the Hasidic world will go around with a child to all these different locations to have the hair cut. It's not always so easy. The child doesn't always know what's going on. If it's possible, it's great. Or to invite Torah personalities to the Chalukah, give an opportunity to cut. The minhag is to start, actually the place of the tefillin, to start cutting over here, which is what's called the makom shei rosh shaltinok rofefes, that the place where the child's head was, where the bone had not yet grown. That's where one should start, and one should be very careful not to cut the sides. That's the whole point. A lot of times afterwards, you'll call in the barber, you'll bring the child there, they have a special rate, which is much higher. I'm just making a killing of it. It was the first one, they charge you more, but then one can finish that off as well. But that can be done afterwards, so you can bring the barber in as well. But the first part should be done by relatives, by Torah personalities as well. It's worthwhile noting just where is the area that one should be careful. So this is just a starcade design, the starcade's picture, which is that it starts just behind the top of the ear, right? That's the area of the top of the ear, and it goes to the temple. So that area over here where it's connected through a straight line or more curved line is the area that cannot be cut below a certain grade. At the very least, a 2 on the shaver is one cannot cut that area, so one has to be very careful and explain that's the area. If as we learned in the Shari Tshuva, that's the focus over here, is that's the area one explains that we're not going to cut. We're not going to cut when we grow older. It's funny having a teenager and seeing what teenagers want these days. There's nothing more they want to do than look like everyone else, right? And this is the one of the areas that's called into question all the time. So it's important to be proud of what it means to be like a Jew. It doesn't mean to say one has to be Hasidic and have side locks down to one's belt, but to be proudly of one's Peyas Rosh, to look like a mensch as well. What does one do after the haircut? There's one does this after every haircut is to wash hands. You always do Netzilas Yadayim after cutting nails, after cutting hair. Most people don't know this, but now you're coming back from the barber or the hairdresser, you do Netzilas Yadayim when you cut off even an ancillary part of the body. Similarly over here with the child, it's an opportunity to educate those who are present and oneself, as this is how one acts as well. I don't remember what the reason is for this. It seems to be a Kabbalistic reason, so it's talked about when it comes to nail cutting as well. I don't remember the reason for it. But there's one last fascinating minhag which most people are not aware of, which is what to do with the hair afterwards. So I saw a very interesting observation in Shvilei HaParsha of Rav Yochanan Dvorkas, who says, look at this observation, he says, Muva b'sefer segulas Yisrael, and he quotes, who says, they take the hair, which doesn't weigh too much, let me tell you, right? But to take the hair and to weigh it on a sensitive scale, and to give, let's say it's 2 grams, if right? So you give 2 grams worth of silver, right? Which is you'll measure that amount as and the value of that you'll give to Staka. He says, why? Uminag bal aminchas Eliezer. This is Rav David ben Zimra. This is really going back many centuries. It's like the first hair of the shearings, lahavdil of the sheep, right? When one proudly is a livestock owner and one is feeling one sense of pride at the end of the season, and it's now the shearing season is the time where one now brings it back in. One's invested and looked after them and so on. Now one's going to shear and sell that wool. So it's the Reishis Hageiz is another part of the firsts that we dedicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Pidyon HaBen style. So you're saying, how's the first of this? What are you doing? You're giving tzedakah in lieu of that as well. So you're channeling that experience as well. And I think the most important part of this is all these minhagim are meant to be a framework to be able to take a moment in life and make it a special moment, a spiritual moment that the child will always remember. Not the moment that the child will remember running back to their room, but a moment where Torah is geshmak, where tefillah is geshmak, where tzitzis and yarmulke, it's I'm proud to be a Jew. And that's what we're trying to do for our children the whole time, is I want you to learn how to be proud to be a Jew. And this is one of those moments in life. We don't have to wait for the option to do this, meaning to say there are many other times, and for the girls and for the boys, that we can think about times of how to make our children's experience of Judaism something which is elevated. Take them to the Siyam Hashas. Take them to, there's going to be a special concert in Madison Square Gardens with the Ishai Riboy. Take them to that. Meaning find, if there's going to be a special shir, there's going to be a kumzitz, there's going to be a malava malka, there's going to be something special. Take them and allow them to experience. Show them your joy of being part of these things. We take them to the ball games, we take them to the hockey games, we take them to all those, but if that's our only geschmack we're expressing to them, then they're going to run to. We have to educate them what really matters in life. What is that we want to be running to as well? And the entertainment is fine, but that's secondary to what it means to be a Jew. We should be able to look for many opportunities. Anytime we hear of an opportunity for our children, our grandchildren, we should be running to enhance it and show that this is what really matters.